Hello and welcome to the Property Roundup here on iProperty Radio with myself, Carol Tallon, the show where we chat to industry experts to get a view on activity on the ground and to learn about new trends emerging. This show is brought to you in partnership with daft.ie, Ireland's most visited property website. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Alan McKenna, Director of REA Halnan McKenna, based in Dublin and Galway. Alan, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Carol. Pleasure to talk to you.
So first, let me start by how, as an estate agent, are you operating on the opposite sides of the country, Dublin and Galway? How did that happen?
Well, interestingly, I started my career in Dublin about 15 or 16 years ago. I started working for a small family business that evolved into working for Gunn Residential in their Fairview office. I was there for a couple of years. I was delighted to move served a good time there. Moved on to Hook McDonald and spent a few years cutting my teeth there. And I moved west of the Shannon following my good wife, who came across from Dublin as well to work in Galway. And I worked for the renowned O'Donnell and Joyce Auctioneers for about 4 years. And about 4.5, 5 years ago, I decided to step out on my own and see if I could brave the tide. So here we are.
Very good. And look, you've mentioned some very well-known brands there and estate agencies that we featured on the show here within the past year. So you were certainly kind of, I suppose, in terms of entering the marketplace and getting experience, you have gotten the best of Dublin and Cork there. And
oh,
for
wait,
estate
sorry,
agents.
Alan.
No,
yeah.
But when you, sorry, of course, but when you get experience of that calibre, you're also getting networks of that caliber. So how does that work when you decide to go out on your own?
Well, to be fair to my former employers, the network you generate while you're with a company, that's their network. That's their client base. So you wouldn't be taking that. You wouldn't be taking the likes of that with you. Nor would you want to. Again, there's a long road with business, and an estate agency have long memories. So quite simply, when you set up on your own. You start from square one. So which is what we ended up doing.
And how has that experience been for you? Because, you know, when we look at networks, we're not just talking about buyers and sellers. We're talking about a network of peers. You're talking about the people you learn from. And actually, one of the things I can say after 23 years in this industry, that actually you come across a lot of familiar faces. The brands change, the faces stay the same. You know, we welcome fresh blood into the industry. We love welcoming the next generation of talent into the industry. But almost everybody I worked with 23 years ago is still knocking around in some discipline of the industry. It doesn't change that much. So
No.
how has your experience
Yeah,
been?
well, like Carol, if you think about it, I mean, there's only about 4,000 licensed estate agents in the entire country. So there's no great surprise that over 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 years of working, you're only going to be seeing the same faces over and over again. Like, there's a really small talent pool of estate agents in the country. Now, it's growing, and the apprenticeship programs that are being run, GRETB here in Galway, in Athenry run theirs. There's another one in Dublin as well that runs it as well. We've benefited from both. We've brought a couple of apprentices through. So the talent pool is growing, and there's people that want to be there. But there's not tens of thousands of us. You know, there's only 4,000 licensed agents in the country.
And tell me, how did you train? Did you come up through apprenticeship? How did you get your start into the industry?
I started just before the licensing came into place. So I was working for about a year and a half as an apprentice, but an unofficial apprentice before the license was required. And as the license was introduced, I had to go back to college. So I ended up doing an IPFMA course in the evenings. So I'd work 9 to 5, 9 to 6, and then go to college in the evening, 2 nights a week for 2.5 years. And I graduated. We were one of the first class. I think we were the first class to graduate out of the IPFMA in association with DIT. For our licenses.
Alan, do you think, because I think you're coming in now, you know, obviously there's a new generation coming up through the ranks now, but you're coming in with that perspective. Do you think that that level of qualification is important for the industry, knowing that the UK are only embarking on that after almost 2 decades of discussion? Has it, is it something that you feel has been a barrier to entry into the market, or has it improved?
No, it's a massive benefit. It's a no. Listen, I am the, I'm a huge fan of it, right? Seeing what my journey was, which was working and studying, and then we've brought two excellent team members through to be fully qualified estate agents through one through the Galway option there, and another one through the Dublin option. I think, listen, estate agency is hands-on learning. You can learn the law through the textbook, but hands-on dealing with people, dealing with issues, understanding the nuances of estate agency, it can only be learned hands-on, you know.
Yeah, no, and look, I think these are, I'm surprised that it's taken the UK so long, but occasionally we do, it's important, particularly as we're rolling out new apprenticeship programs, that we look at maybe what's working. Are we doing it in the best way? Because we're seeing actually the apprenticeship model across Ireland, across all disciplines and industries, is really changing. So we're returning to a stage of apprenticeships for accountancy, apprenticeships for civil engineering that we didn't have previously. So it's just, I think it's a really interesting model, and there is something different about the working and studying as opposed to just studying. It
Yeah.
just gives a different perspective whether you're a mature student or you're coming in straight from school.
I've done my undergrad in another subject. We won't go into it today, but quite simply, I haven't used it. I went out into the workforce. I started working. Realized, okay, cool. This is the career I wanted to follow. This is the job I'm interested in. Great. It needs a qualification. Okay, go back and I'll study for the job I want to do. And the amazing amount of people that actually fall into a state agency. Very few. There's one chap he interviewed there recently, Hugo. I think he decided very young he wanted to be an estate agent. But my goodness, I didn't know. I had to go through college and come out and say and start working at it before I realized, no, this is something I want to do.
It's funny you referenced that particular interview. That's Hugo Deegan, who actually started his career down with Regina Mangan and the Liberty Blue team down in Waterford, because he's actually from Waterford himself, and he did that while still in school. But at the time, he had his sights set on joining Eoghan Riley's team. And he has done that now. And in fact, only in the last week or so, he was recognized as a future leader at the National Property Awards. So we are very proud of Hugo. And you're right, he's an absolute standout example of somebody who is so passionate about the industry that I'm really excited to see not only what he will bring to the industry, being hopefully with this youth is going to come. In time, the experience to be able to challenge what he sees as well, because it's a very imperfect process that we have in transactions. So, I'm really hoping that with the next generation of talent coming up, that we're going to start to see the confidence to improve things, not just accept things as they are, because that's a really important part of it. But I'm also very conscious that when you've got young professionals like that who are really showing such early signs of passion translating into success, I hope that that actually shines a light on a career in property or construction or planning or anywhere across the built environment to people who are, maybe less decided, less sure of their options. So yeah, he's a really inspiring example, and it makes me think that the future of property is in safe hands for sure.
Absolutely.
But tell me about the apprentices you have coming up. You said you've apprentices came up through the Dublin and the Galway
Through
offices.
Galway as well. Sorry, one apprentice. Sorry, our first apprentice that came through the Dublin. They're still with us. That's Ulker. So works in our Dublin office. Fully qualified A to D licenses. Heavily involved in our property management side of things. Getting involved in the lettings and starting to get involved in the sales side of things as well. So, very good success story. Our second apprentice, they're no longer with us. They were working in our Galway office during their apprenticeship. Unfortunately, we parted ways there last year, but only too delighted to see them go on to further success dealing with sales in Mayo. So slightly closer to the office they're working in. Gough is a small city, but it's a very big county. So they lived out in Letterfrack and commuted into work every day into Galway, which is about an hour and a half. So there's a shorter commute to Castlebar in Mayo for them. So that's where they're working now in Sheriff Fitzgerald. So delighted to see them. Delighted to see them grow and delighted to see them get further experience.
Fantastic. And it's amazing. We're talking about the younger generation, but to be fair, you fall into that category yourself. So you are actually a very young founder going out on your own. Had you considered that early in your career? Did you know that you would likely go down the self-owned agency route?
It's an interesting one to talk about. I set up when I was 32. I set up when I was 32, and probably for a couple of years before that, it would been pa comments had been passed to me of would you set up on your own? Would you do your own thing? Would you run your own office? And I was very happy with my employment. I was very happy with working for my former employers here in Galway. I was on and enjoyed great operation, great office to work in. But I got to the point in my career of saying, I was. As I said, I was 31, 32, and I said, "Is this it? Is there another challenge?" I deal with everything. I deal with lettings, sales, property management, valuations, property consultancy, and a little bit of block management as well. And I like to put my hand into everything. Whereas what I have found is, when you're working in a company, you're a thing. You are a sales agent, or you're a lettings agent, or you're a property manager. And quite simply, too much of the same thing I get a little slowed down by. So I like being busy. I like dealing with a little bit of everything, and I like building a team. So yeah, here I am, 4 years later, 5 years later.
Fantastic. And then tell me, what made you choose to go down the route of, obviously starting out, you can go out as an independent under your own name. You can go to one of the franchises across D&G or Sherry Fitzgerald, or indeed now we have these networks of agents, and through REA Real Estate Alliance. How did you know which was the right route for you?
So, originally, I actually went into partnership. I bought into a company that was already a member of the REA, a member of REA. But REA was a conscious decision for me when I was getting involved in the purchase into the shares of the company I was buying into. And quite simply, it's the network. REA, the Real Estate Alliance, isn't a franchise. Every office is their own individual office. They have autonomy over their locations, over their services, over what they do. But what they are brilliant at is the network. Quite simply, I can pick up the phone to any other REA estate agent in the country, and I'm going to have a conversation. I'm going to get an insight into what they're doing and how they're doing it. And quite simply, if a colleague of mine might be in Clare, and they say, "Alan, there's a property in Galway. I have a client there. Will you help them?" The answer is absolutely no problem. Thanks very much for the referral. We'll take care of that client. If I've got to do a valuation on a commercial unit, I pick up the phone and I say, "Great, I need three comparables. You dealt with the last couple of things in that nearby. Can you help me?" And the answer is always yes. It's a brilliant, brilliant network to be involved in.
That's really positive to hear. And so actually tell me a little bit about the marketplaces that you're operating in. So first of all, let's look at Dublin, because actually it's been quite a confusing start to the year, and Dublin tends to operate slightly different, and obviously depending on the area, but to the rest of the country. But sometimes that's to the positive, sometimes it's to the negative. But only this week again, we see that actually the forecasts are that we are unlikely to see the price drops that we've been waiting to see, and supply absolutely remains the main challenge. So tell me a little bit about the properties that you're selling at the moment, and who are you selling them to?
So yes, the challenges are real. Dublin is really a forecast for the rest of the country. I've always found it that moving from Dublin to Galway, I was saying, well, Dublin's a couple of years ahead of the Galway market. Galway market has moved forward. So just as a small example, when I left Dublin, the rent for a one-bedroom apartment in Island Bridge, Dublin 8, was about €975 a month to €1,000 for a one bed. Same one bed in the exact same location, this exact same building. We rented 6 weeks ago for €1,900 per month. So we're looking at 100 and 100%
Yeah.
increase over the last 8 years, 9 years. When I moved to Galway, I moved to a two bedroom, two bathroom apartment in Salthill. This is me renting, right? And my wife found it. I didn't find it. She was living here already. And so no hand of an estate agent getting a good deal. I wasn't involved, but it was €950 a month for a two bedroom, two bathroom apartment. Just rented a two bedroom, two bathroom apartment in Salthill for 2,300 a month. So I'm looking at 150% increase in rent in the
That's a
last 8 years.
really, that's really interesting, actually. And I don't think that's something that's necessarily borne out by some of the stats that
Statistics.
we've seen.
No, no.
Absolutely. And look, again, we know that so for some instances, it's an instance of a marketplace coming off a lower base. So there's an element of catch up, but actually demand is a huge part of this as well. So we've seen new demand come into the Dublin market, very little come into the Galway market. So let's turn our attention to Galway. What type of marketplace? Because it is, I actually believe you touched on it there. Galway is a small city, but it's a very large county, and so
Yeah.
there are a lot of differences. Are you operating across the entire county?
We do. Yeah, we do. So we'll deal with properties northeast and west of the city as well. So as long as we can service it within a reasonable time frame, we'll service the property. So we deal with stuff out in Inverin, out into Cornerone for sales and lettings, which would be a couple of the properties we manage out as far as up Derard. Now there's a good 40 minutes outside of the city to go any further than that. We've pitched for a bit of business out towards Recess, but we haven't gotten it.
But there isn't a huge amount of activity out there. Like, not so many secondhand homes coming to the market. No new homes that I'm aware of at all. And not only that, but actually the properties that are potentially available are those that maybe people are seeking the vacant homes grant. And quite frankly, Galway County Council has one of the worst track records in terms of being able to process the vacant homes and derelict homes grant to allow
Carol,
people to be able to buy.
the last look I had, now it was maybe would have been Monday when I last looked at it. I checked the total listing, so maybe Monday was probably the last time I looked at it. There's about 150 properties listed as for sale in Galway City. It's 150 properties for a population of about 60,000 to 70,000 people. In terms of rental, there's a couple of hundred properties as well. If even it fluctuates, but at one point in time there was 20 properties listed for rent in the entire city. Now, people will say, "Oh, it's off market. You're not advertising them on the major platforms." But there are professional agencies like ourselves that have to do market them on the major platforms. And if they're not there, it's a sign of what's not available. Which is now showing that a three bedroom semi that maybe 6 years ago when I first five, 6 years ago when I first moved to Galway would have been €1,500 per month. It's now 3,000 to 3,500 euro per month.
Yeah, that's a
There's
huge increase, and it's one that we can see. Like, there has been consistent demand, and consistent and now growing demand, despite our contracting mortgage market, to be fair, which is a real indication of buyers' commitment to this process and saving and moving home and maybe trying to avoid the rental market to be able to become homeowners. But actually, in Galway, one positive we're seeing is that actually we're starting to see new houses particularly come on stream. Some of them are still under development. Some have just become kind of occupied over the past number of months with more in the pipeline. So, I mean, what are you seeing in terms of development? Are there development opportunities in terms of project viability? And the people that you're speaking to there, what can we expect to see in terms of the development pipeline for Galway?
It's there are projects out there. There are projects out there. Some of the long established agents are the ones dealing with these. The simple answer is not enough, okay? But I'd be a big advocate to say that property economics doesn't follow standard supply and demand economics. So supply and demand has always been the common pushed. But more supply doesn't always mean lower prices, especially not with property. If we think back to the 2001, 2006 market, we had more supply and more supply and more supply, but prices kept climbing as well. Property values are linked to credit and the availability of cash. Okay. So if there's more funds available, property prices will go higher. If there's less funds available, property prices will reduce, but then trading stops. Because if property prices drop, people stop selling them.
Well, then
So,
let's take that through to its kind of full thought process there, right? We talk about supply and demand. We can see viability issues feeding into supply as well as planning, which we're not even going to touch
no,
today.
don't touch
But
it.
no, but I suppose I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of an estate agent in Galway. Okay, I'm in my first 5 years of trading. I have ambitions. I want to grow my agency. How do I grow that if there aren't enough new homes coming through in terms of the pipeline? Yes, they're starting to come through, but it's slow and it's taken a long time. But in terms of secondhand homes, just the turnover is so slow. So how does a young estate agent with ambitions grow the business?
The structure of your business is incredibly important, right? And understanding the tiers of services, I found crucial. And I look at it as a cake, right? The base of my cake is my property management, right? It's not glamorous, it's not glorious. The fees aren't huge, but they are recurring. They come in every month and they pay your bills. Right. The next slice of that cake is your valuations. Again, their fees aren't huge. They're not glorious. You're not going to make any headlines by doing valuations, but fees are continuous and they do keep coming in. You can grow a business on that. Okay. Lettings, when they come in, they're available. Great. You can get a fee out of it. But our business model is actually to move away from lettings. We now no longer charge letting fees. We charge property management fees. We want to manage our clients' properties. And in this market where legislation is changing, the rules are changing, the challenges are changing, we're saying, no, we'll provide a better service for our clients under property management and staying on top of the ever changing crest of the wave of legislation. We'll stay in front of that and stay ahead of it for our clients. So instead of just giving us a letting fee and that tenant staying put for 4, 5, 6 years, where we don't see that client again, we'll say, no, we'll manage this property for you for that period of time, but we won't charge you a letting fee. Now, that's very different to my competitors, right? We still do, if it's let only, we'll still do a let only fee, but we prefer management. And then on top of that, then you're looking at the cream. The cream on top is the sales. A sale could take anywhere between 3 and 6 months to close. Unless you've got a cash surplus and very low costs, it is nigh on impossible to set up an estate agency solely on sales, in my opinion. There might be other agents out there that have done it, but I'm looking at it from a cash flow perspective. If you're waiting on those 5, 6 sales to close at the end of the year, I still have rent to pay. I still have to pay for my license fee. I still have to pay for my electricity, my TV, my broad sorry, my, not my TV, my broadband, my fuel. Can't survive solely on sales. You need to offer a full spectrum of services.
And look, I think that's really interesting. And one thing we've spoken about in the past before is that estate agents tend to either love or hate property management. It's an either or situation. They love it or they hate it. And one
I've
of the
always
things, well,
I've
no,
always
one of
thought
the
it's a
things,
personality type.
well, but more than that, you have to look at the business model and you say, well, actually, the valuation of your business depends very much on recurring income. And actually, property management is something like that. So I suppose it does depend on your business model and what you're looking at. And by the way, whether I do it on or off air, I'm definitely going to come back and have a conversation with you about fees because actually we need to stop this race to the bottom.
Of
You
course.
know, so we definitely don't advocate waiving fees because quite frankly, I would prefer that estate agencies across the full spectrum of lettings, and I say this having never been an estate agent, they need to charge more so they can deliver better, so they can invest in technology, so that consumers in the marketplace get a better experience. Being cheap benefits nobody, and that's just the reality of what we see in a marketplace. So we want the industry to charge more so they can do better, so they add more value to the consumers, so there is a better offering. Invest in technology, do things better. So that race to the bottom of fees, it's a problem.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not the what my comment there isn't a race to the bottom on fees. It's an e it's an either or service. It's an either or service. So we charge competitive fees, but so does everybody else. But it's an either or service, not a race to the bottom.
But just in terms of business model, I think this is really interesting. You know, you talked about the full spectrum of services. Yep, for sure. But actually, that's not the only way to grow the business. And I know you've done something really interesting and growing by acquisition, which is very unusual for such a young company. Can you talk us through that?
So over the last 4 years, we've bought three companies. So listen, there's the estate agencies are, sorry, there are some very large estate agencies, very successful estate agencies, but there are also some very, very well-run individual solo operated firms, and they've built up a very strong client base, very good reputation, but they could be 25, 30, 35 years in business. And their choices are limited when it comes to the end of to the end of career. Now, if you've got a family member that wants to take over the business, fantastic. That's succession planning. Brilliant. If you don't have that, you're two choices. You either sell your business or you wind it up. Now, winding up your business, you miss out on the tax incentives and the tax benefits for selling a company. Whereas I, in the last 3 years, we've bought three agencies of people that were looking to retire, and we've been able to take on their client books and their client management books, and they've been able to retire with the buyout with the tax benefits that are applicable to them. So yeah.
Alan, I am fascinated about this because you are the only Irish example and you're the only property example that I've come across for something that is an increasing phenomenon. So anybody, I'm definitely not into hustle culture at all, but anybody who is looking at business resources online would be familiar with Cody Sanchez and in fact, and others like her, and they would have ad identified very much that actually you're talking about it as estate agencies, but actually that demographic of business owner retiring, you know, in the US they refer to them, you know, it's basically the boomer businesses, the baby boomers who started businesses want to exit out of them, and maybe for whatever reason, the path to sale isn't very clear, but actually, and maybe they don't even know how to go about doing it, but that there's so much, not just clients, goodwill, reputation, so much built up in these businesses that isn't essentially that business owners don't know how to extract that value when they come to retiring. So actually, this is something that has, you know, really caught fire on the you know, on the internet in terms of new business ideas. And actually, there's a really good, solid economic logic behind it. I think they refer to it as boring or unsexy businesses, but actually, essentially, these are really interesting, and this, so yours is the first time where I've seen this example articulated in Ireland.
I do joke with a couple of my friends. I say, I don't know what I do. I don't know if I sell houses or rent houses or if I buy businesses. As I said, there was a stage there. I did one a year for the first 3 years. And in the market to buy more, in the market to buy more and grow and grow further. Yeah, so.
Are you willing to talk to us a little bit about that process? Because actually, I think there will be people listening in who have never thought about this before, but will suddenly see, you know, that makes absolute sense. And in fact, looking at the demographic of estate agents around the country, there's a very good chance that there's one retiring small agency that would fit this bill in every town in Ireland. And by the way, you know, I have another strategy that we're going to be talking about later in the season, and that is that I'd like you know, rural estate agents to really embrace buyer's agency as a paid service to increase their income stream. So we'll definitely be talking about that. But we want to see rural, particularly rural estate agencies, we want to see them have more lifelines than they currently do right now in areas where there's very low supply or no supply of new homes and very low levels of turnover of secondhand homes. So actually, we're looking at the different pipelines for those estate agencies. But actually, the reality is many of them are going to come into the demographic that you've described. They are going to be considering retiring, and they don't, if it's not, if they don't have an element of succession planning there, they might not know how to extract value from the business as they retire. So can you talk to us a little bit about the process? Like, how do you identify the right people? Do they reach out to you? Tell us through your, tell, talk us through your first deal.
So the first deal, oddly enough, my first deal was buying into the company that is Howland McKenna. It was originally a company called Howland Estates. Partner, my former business partner was set up. Wanted to grow the business. I got involved. We grew to a level over a couple of years, and he decided he wanted to separate. So I ended up buying the rest of it. So the first business was an injection of growth by teamwork. The second business of purchase, probably the one of most interest. There was an agency in Dublin that was looking at retiring. Didn't have a succession plan in place. They had a good client list, things in order. We saw their we they were able to share their fee income with them. We agreed a fair price over the value of the business. Hard to speak publicly over what that valuation process is. In case that somebody wants to work with me, I'm quite an open book, but I prefer to keep that behind closed doors because if you say it out publicly, you do a deal with somebody. They're then sharing that person's business with the world, but quite simply, we looked at what their turnover was for the previous couple of years, agreed a suitable multiple of it, and did the deal with them. So we paid them a portion of it up front, and then paid the rest of it over time.
Well, talk to me about the spectrum of services that that particular estate agency would have been.
Just management. They were just a C licensed estate agent, so they could do lettings and individual management, but they were just a C licensed estate agent.
Yeah, no, because I suppose the reason I'm interested in understanding the scale or the level of services there is that with acquiring an estate agency based on their previous sales that may be based on the personality of the previous estate agent, when you're not going to be carrying on the brand, it's
Yeah.
hard to see the value there. So is the value in perhaps the relationship in terms of valuations, which could easily be replicated, well, not easily, but could be
No,
replicated,
no, no.
or
Like
is it around the block management, basically?
we've looked at companies that were dealing with valuation that were just on valuation panels. So quite simply, if you're recognized and on a valuation panel, you now have a value. It's very difficult as a new entrant to get onto the panels with the banks. So quite simply, if you're able to buy a company that or buy the client base of a company that's recognized on that panel, there's a value there too. Now, sales becomes another challenge because if you sell it once, you're not guaranteed to sell it again. So it is the brand and the staff you might be buying. But again, that becomes a slightly more complicated valuation perspective. But yeah, the true intrinsic values are recurring income. Valuations are recurring, and as I said, it's the base layer of the cake. It's not the glossy, glamorous stuff. It's what am I going to get paid this month and next month? Great, might only be 100 quid, might be 150 quid, but you can grow on 150 quid.
Yeah, you know, that is such an interesting point. Somebody who was self-employed during the crash, I remember, you know, when it came to how to move forward in terms of innovating new business models, you know, I always said I have a reputation for being interested in innovation. Like, I'm interested in survival. Innovation was the route to survival. And I think that that's a bit of a shared, you know, it's a commonality across the industry. Anybody who was in at that time, you know, there was an element of survival. But I think it's a really important point to point out. Will you tell us very briefly about your third deal?
Third deal was a company in Wexford. So myself, my former partner, we actually originally had three offices, one in Dublin, one in Galway, one in Wexford. We ended up getting involved with another estate agent in Wexford, and again they had a client base, another property management business, a few lettings, and a couple of sales. They had a B license as well, as far as I can remember. And we ended up acquiring them. Very similar, just replicated the process as we did with the second party. So yeah, it was the same again. What not to say that it's all the same, but a very similar process.
Right, well then let's tell, because I genuinely think I'm not aware of conversations like this happening in the marketplace, and yet I am very aware of estate agents who might be looking in the next 5 to 10 years at exiting and not sure what that exit looks like. And you know, for some it will be a sale, for some it'll be you know, and I'm talking about ones maybe that haven't got their succession planning in order, or maybe aren't running this as an intergenerational business. So I think that this is a really interesting conversation, and one that maybe there are new business models emerging. There are new models of financing available. And look, we don't need to get into models of financing with you on this call, but I'd be very happy to pick up the conversation again at a later date. But you know, anybody who's watching maybe some of the US trends, they would very much lead with deals that require A little bit like you were talking about, you bring the growth, you bring something else to the table, not necessarily cash, and that actually there's an exit process that might involve the original owner being paid over a number of years. So there are
It
many
all comes,
different ways to
it,
structure.
yeah, of course, it all just comes down to risk, right? It really, really, it's really that simple. It all just comes down to risk. If there's less risk involved, the value is higher. If there's more risk involved, the value is slightly lower. But and every individual has their own profile of what they want. And the answer is, can we come to terms on a risk profile that suits them and suits us as well?
Can you give us an indication as to cash down, money down deals, or are people accepting that they are going to be paid out of their business over a number of years?
Yeah, no, I mean, like we'd offer a couple of different options on it. We'd offer a couple of different options on it. Obviously, if you're going to take cash over time, you're the value of that's going to be higher. So your the multiple or the agreed figure is going to be a higher price. Now, it's up to us to make it work, right? Once we've signed that deal, that's the contract. Put a contract in place, we're going to live to the term of that contract, right? So we're taking the risk that we may or may not retain those clients, or those clients might not be there in 3 years' time. We might only have them for 6 months. We might only have them for 3 months. We might not get to keep them at all. So the risk is on our side, right? But we carry that risk over time. Okay. Whereas if you want, I want cash today and I want it up front and I want it all paid now, okay. The value is lower because the risk is taken by us.
Alan, do you have your sights set on any acquisitions for this year?
There are a couple of people that we started talking to, where we'd hope that they'll develop. But again, it's not driven by us. And it's not driven by me. Listen, I'm here to grow, and I'm here to grow our business, and I'm here to offer really good services to our clients. But you can't force somebody to sell their business. That's not a it's not the it's not the negotiation style that I work to. Somebody wants to follow down that track and like what they're hearing. Great, I'm more than happy to engage. We've organized. We have our finances in order and organized to go again a couple of times if we need to. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't see that as a sales push at all. In fact, I see it very much as solving a problem for a cohort of people that might genuinely not know how to solve that problem.
That word, Carol, problem, right? Problem. Property is problems, right? If you're in the property industry, all you are is a problem solver, right? I consider myself an excellent problem solver, whether it's selling a property, whether it's renting a property, whether it's managing a property. We've had a couple of really fascinating residential tenancy board cases in the last couple of years. We've actually had a couple of landmark cases that have gone to the High Court. Okay. Now, you don't get to see my name put alongside those, but they're cases that I've handled and dealt with from start to finish. Okay. But all my point is property is problems. Whether you're an estate agent dealing with property, it's a problem. Whether you're an owner, it's a problem. Whether you're a tenant, it's a problem. And every problem needs a solution. And my opinion is I'm just here to provide those solutions.
Interesting. Alan, it was my absolute great pleasure to talk to you today. I'm genuinely interested around the acquisition route, particularly for those estate agents who might be looking at retiring. I think that that's a very particular niche, but actually I think it covers quite a wide demographic in Ireland, and not just in rural Ireland, actually across the urban centres as well. So I think it's a really interesting thing that you're doing. And maybe we'll check in with you in a couple of months' time, see how that's going, and see if you have your sights set on anything else. And I suppose finally, just because I truly believe there will be people listening in here today who will see actually this might be a bit of a lifeline compared to just closing my doors. So just finally, how would people know? So people who have been winding down the business for the last 2 or 3 years, not understanding what their options are, and assuming they would maybe just have to close the doors for whatever reason, what are the things that you look for in a company that might make them appealing to you?
For us in particular, it is cash flow. It is cash flow. Listen, cash is king. Cash flow is king, right? Business thrives. It's the blood of a company, right? So if you have it at any level, there is a value in that, Right. It the, and there's an intrinsic value of don't just walk away from it, don't just leave it behind you. You've done such an amazing job by generating it, by creating it, right? And it didn't exist there before the estate agent got involved. They created that, right? So quite simply, they should benefit from it. It's a very simple opinion on it.
Alan, I just couldn't agree with you more. And I really do hope that anybody who sees this as a potential solution reaches out to you. But look, we'll keep in touch with this because look, I think it's great that you're doing it, but I do believe it's a model that could be replicated. And like I said, you're the first person I've seen in Ireland to apply this in a property context. Like, of course, people acquire retiring businesses, but to go after it as a strategic way to grow your business, I think is particularly interesting. So we're definitely going to pick up in this conversation again. But I really appreciate you taking the time today to take me through it. And I look forward to meeting you in Galway or Dublin, both hot spots. So look,
Absolutely.
delighted. That was Alan McKenna, Director of REA Halnant McKenna. My thanks to producer Katie Tallon and to the production team at Hear Me Roar Media. Also, huge thanks to our show sponsor, daft.ie, Ireland's most visited property website. And thank you indeed for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Property Roundup. In the meantime, please be sure to check out all of the other Irish and international real estate and construction shows here on iPropertyRadio.com.